Let's jump in and talk about another nut to crack in our lives. And I know some of you are very youthful on this call, and I consider myself youthful, even though I'm soon to turn 64, but I still consider myself a spring chicken. So, but it's interesting to look at all these new the generation. We talked about the millennials, and now we're talking about Generation Y, Generation Z, XYZ. All these generations are coming up, and how do we approach them? Because they really become part of our marketplace. So we really would like to get them involved. Bringing more youth to Manatech is going to serve us in 101 ways. It will also serve all of you, because if you get younger people attached and attracted to doing this and supporting themselves and their health and making a commitment to Manatech as a part of the, a gig economy or the, entrepreneurism, you're really doing yourself a favor, because, if you look at your organization today and the average age in your organization is 65 to 85, that really isn't a organization that's going to be give you a legacy, because as those people die off, your organizational volume dissipates and your income dissipates, and soon there's not much left. So it's really about how do we attract other generations. So don't, when you see the title of my article today in our discussion, don't dismiss it and go, those aren't the people that I talk to. Absolutely wrong. What you need to do is be attracting that group of people. You need to be going after the Generation Zs, the millennials, and soon the XYZ. All of them are belonging in our structure in order to ensure something that's legacy income. And that's what I want, because, each one of us use our income for different sources, but, putting it into a foundation, my foundation, and making sure I have financial support for that foundation, because my legacy isn't about what I've done during my lifetime. It's how does what I've done during my lifetime impact for hundreds of years? That's what I'd like to see happen. And you can do that through foundations and other mechanisms. But you're not going to have a legacy income if everybody's, in their 60s and 70s and 80s, because they just, all of you have had the experiences where you've had people in your organization who have passed away, and all of a sudden $1,000 worth of volume disappears because they were ordering and they had their sister and they had some cousins and some grandkids they were buying for, and all of a sudden it goes zoop. And you go, wow, that was a lot of volume to lose. And you realize how your organization is subject to that if you're not growing younger people. So let's talk about Generation Z today, because I think it's a perfect generation for us, as I did millennials as well, because, the main reason is these people really don't want jobs. They're tired. They don't want structure. They don't want jobs. They're a very free-thinking, interest people. There, in fact, at the convention, a conference I went to this weekend, I'm going there to build, funnels and do all sorts of things with social media, and two people in the audience. We only had, 30 people in the room, perhaps, Lydia? 30 or so people in the room. So it was a really tight group, which is great because you get a lot of personalized attention. Two of them were, one was 13 and one was 14 years old. Isn't that amazing? So, again, a perfect topic for me to talk about today, just watching these kids, and they were as bold as you've ever seen. I mean, when they raised their hand, they were called on, they expressed themselves, and it was wonderful to hear this refreshing voice of these 13 and 14-year-olds out there building a business, trying to build a business, right? Doing it, taking advantage of all the possibilities of social media and building a business, because they don't want a job. They don't want to fall into that trap of a fixed job market. So let's talk about, these Generation Z, and then maybe the whole purpose of me teaching and training on this people is one reason, and that is for you to develop language and, first of all, understanding of who they are and how they think, and number two, give you some language that could help you approach these kids to be able to get them involved in your organization. So you're not using an old-fashioned, how do I approach the baby boomers approach to a group of young millennials and Gen Zs. So who are the Gen Zs? The millennials, first of all, let's talk about the millennials, who are the 24 to 38-year-olds, to give you a perspective of ages. 24 to 38 is our millennial group. And they were, they were classified early on. In fact, if you go back to one of my trainings 10 years ago, you're probably going to find where we call them a lazy, they feel entitled, they're demanding, and a lot of the generations that preceded them, including us baby boomers, kind of you know, we kind of gave them a bad rap, a bad reputation. In fact, I remember some platinum presidentials in Manitech, I won't mention names, who said he's not about to waste his time on the millennials because they just never follow through with anything. So he just dismissed it as a group. He said it was foolish to go after them. And it's too bad because, you know, they still represent a group and they got heavily involved in network marketing and still are today. I saw quite a few of them at the Association of Network Marketing Professionals conference I go to every year. There are a lot of them on stage. So I know they're engaged, and a lot of them are making a lot of money in network marketing. So you can find them. The Gen Zers are the ones that they're born in 1995. That would make most of those people 23 years old. So they're the generation after millennials. Through 2012, which would get all the way to 6-year-olds. So you go 6 to 23 is your age group in the Gen Zers. And they're quietly shaking up the market. They grew up in the shadows of the entrepreneurial millennials. That's the generation that was before them. And they're about to make their own mark in what we call the gig economy. They're a very independent group of people. The Gen Z have basically grown up on the Internet, and most of us can't relate to that because the Internet didn't even exist when we were growing up. And they've been spammed with every marketing technique there is. So, and that came directly from Kara Brook, who's the founder of Mascara Beauty. And some things they like, so they're very sophisticated. They can sniff out stuff faster than any of us can, and just like in a very short period of time, they come to judgment on marketing because they've been spammed with everything. So you got to be really careful with how you approach this group because you can't spam them, you can't confuse them, you can't, you know, lead them down a path. It's not about that. They want real, okay? And you're going to hear some of this. Some things are best suited for. Some of the things or aspects of what they're looking for are best suited for us in network marketing. Number one, they want to work when they choose to, and they want to work the hours they pick. So they're very independent, more so than even their millennial generation. So if they want that kind of freedom, where are they going to find that? Clearly, network marketing provides them that freedom, which is cool. They want to be their own bosses. Clearly, they're entrepreneurial-minded, even more so than the millennial generation. They want to be part meaningful. So again, they're very social conscious. They want to make a difference in the world. They want to be something. They don't want to, you know, jump on board with something that's not really making a huge impact. They're not chasing money as much. The millennials were money, 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 money. This group is not that much after making tons of money. They're more after making a difference. A lot of them, they'll give their right arm to go join a company like Google. Working at Google is a status for them, so they'll take any pay that they can get just to be able to say they work at Google. You know, so it's a different outlook. And a lot of people are telling them they can't have all these things that, you know, choose to work the hours they want, whatever they want, be their own bosses or be part of something powerful. They can't have them directly out of school. And what's wrong with that number two, you know, 1C2 in my outline is the fact that we have that for them, which makes them a great target market for us as long as we're not, what, overselling ourselves to them and making it more of a social cause, something wonderful, the freedom they have, work the hours you want, you know, be independent, and those kind of, you know, proper languaging that will attract them. So we can give them that, you know, that ability to have the things that they really want and be their own bosses. Huge, 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 important, again. The media giant Generation Z is deleting. This is important to recognize this because how best do you communicate with Generation Z? It's not the way you may think. The digital connection with them is king for all the younger consumers. I mean, that's where they find all their information is digital. The image-based social media like Snapchat and Instagram are their primary choices. Why? Because there's more privacy. Like on Snapchat, they can put something on it and they can delete it the next day. It's gone. It's not something that, you know, it's not something that identifies them to exactly what their mood might have been in that moment. Origin, which is a Boston research firm, found that 34% of them have taken a break totally from social media. When I talk about the media giant Generation Z is deleting, it's called Facebook. Only 9% of teens say Facebook is their preferred social media platform. The majority of them call it the only way that they keep up with their parents. Isn't that funny? What I said, that's how they keep up on top of their parents, is by Facebook. But other than that, they don't use it. They prefer the other social media sites. So the average Gen Z spends 2.5 hours a day on their electronic devices, primarily their phones. And again, they prefer more private than Facebook. So Facebook is their least choice in terms of social media sites. They're all ready, but notwithstanding all that, every one of them, they're all ready to start their own businesses. In fact, you're going to see, I mean, why is a 13 and 14-year-old at this, you know, convention or conference with me on social media and doing, building funnels and all that kind of stuff? Because they all want to start their own businesses. That's what they're out there for. They're ready at 13, 14 years old to start their own businesses. So extremely entrepreneurial. 69% said they'd rather be without a bathroom than a working internet. So that I just thought that was a cute quote, that they could care less about a working bathroom. They'd want to make sure that their internet's working. The Generation Z is the generation of micro-influencers. They're on Instagram building an audience online, and then they further the relationship. One of the things that came out really screamed at me, I don't see it right here, but I know I put it in the outline, was the fact that they prefer almost communicating on social media versus they don't want to be face-to-face with people. So it's a very different attitude with them. They almost are, you know, and I see that when I go to, you know, when you see kids today, this is my grandkids, you know, ages as well. They love to have that phone in their hand. They really aren't as social. They're social in a totally different way than we were. Of course, you and I, when we grew up, I shouldn't say you and I, because there are a lot of young people on this call, but a lot of us in our 50s and 60s on the call, maybe even 70s, we didn't have cell phones. The only way we communicated with people either was by phone, if you're allowed to talk on a phone as a young person, which I was only got 5 minutes a week. That was one of my parents' restrictions. But we would have to be face-to-face. So that's why Mary Jo joined like 12 social clubs, you know, and sports, student council, everything under the sun, because I was such a social butterfly that I needed all that social contact. So it was very different for me. Today that's done by phone. You know, they do it by phone. So it's not as much personal interaction in terms of visual. It's more, you know, what they do on their iPhones. They're not as interested. This group isn't interested in building an audience of 10,000 people because they can build a business with just a few hundred, and they want to develop that relationship. And you surely can build a business with a few hundred doing network marketing, for sure. So, again, we get this perfect, you know, perfect concept. How would you approach somebody at this age group about talking about, you know, you don't need a 10,000 audience, you need 200. You do it in terms of building partners. And your partners, if each one of your partners builds a group of 100 or so, you know, people that their audience, I mean, you'll be a platinum presidential in no time. So it's a great mechanism for them to see that you don't want to talk about, you know, hey, go to this convention because you got 10,000 people there. And no, you want to say, do you know 100 people? Let's go after 100 people. And you build that audience of 100 people, and you build that into your business, and you get those people to do the same thing. And guess what happens? You're satisfying their need to be in association with not massive numbers of people, but, you know, that limited number. Staying ahead of social media trends is critical for them. They're multilingual and fast and furious adopters. Not adapters, adopters. What does that mean? Anything new that comes along, they adopt it. They adopt it. And what's so intriguing about the language around this was the fact that they render things obsolete before they even become popular. Interesting, isn't it? So their analysis of things is so quick, it doesn't even matter what happens over the next 3 to 6 months with a new gadget. If they don't, they're going to release it. So they adopt very fast to anything new that comes out. They don't need 6 months to try it out. They figure it out in a short period of time, and it's either in or out, and when it's out, it's gone. And it never even reached a level of popularity. Flexibility is crucial. Must have vision, talent, and resources to absorb that. So they want flexibility in what they do. And that's perfect for the network marketing model as well. The marketing hook Gen Z craves, okay, so let's talk about this. Growing up in an extremely connected environment with smartphones and Wi-Fi, Gen Z is intuitively more sensitive to marketing. So what kind of marketing? The traditional advertisement of social sharing templates won't be as effective with this Gen Z group. There's no concept of one size fits all and clearly no spamming. They've seen it all. They've been inundated by it all. They are done with it. What they're looking for is a social story, a story behind the one growing the brand. So this is why I believe, and I've talked to a number of presidentials on the same topic, we so desperately need to have a strong video about our story, the Allo story. It's a romance story, and it's something that would really hit home to the Gen Z. This would be something they would really love to read about because it gives them feeling like a part of something that has been historic for thousands of years, and here is the company that captured this romance. And building it that way would be something very impactful for this Gen Z. So I'm, of course, taking this information and going to Al Bala with it as well because we already have that in process with him, but I really wanted to let you guys know. I think this really drove home to me why, even more so, why the importance of our romance story being developed and put in a video for everybody to share. Brands will need to build that in that intimacy. That's what we want, the intimacy that we have in order to be effective with this Gen Z or group of people. So this generation. Okay, so Gen Z. And the other aspect of it is tell your story. They want a social story. Each one of us has a story. So they're into that because what are they into? Intimacy. No superficiality. They're into intimacy. So bare yourself to them, and you'll build relationships with them in a much easier way. So cool. Gen Z recognized that 44% of recent grads are in jobs today that do not require a college education. So guess what they're looking at? Why should I go to college? It's a big question mark. Why should I go to college for these kids? And they look at, of course, the other thing that they look at, too, is the burden of the college debt. These kids are, I mean, they're all over the Internet all the time, so they know what's going on in the college debt industry. They know the burdens that these millennial generations are carrying, why most of them aren't buying homes, delaying getting married, having children, all of this. It's controlling their social life and their decision-making because of the huge college debt burden that they're carrying. So they're going, look at all the jobs they're in. They don't even require a college education. So that's a big movement as well. Gen Z's must-have for success, they're glued to smartphones. So to touch this generation, a highly functioning app is a non-negotiable. And, of course, we're building that. We have one, and we're putting more energy and effort into that. Some of us sit back as, you know, baby boomers going, I don't need any more technology. No. but the reality is we better have it if we're going to relate to this younger generation, the younger generation. So it's a good thing to have this high tech on the phone. If it can't be done on a phone, then they don't want to do it. They want nothing to do with it if it can't be done on a phone. And it's surprising how many have no computer. They have no computer. Everything they do is off their phone. If it doesn't fit in their hand, they don't use it. Right? So it's pretty amazing. They have high expectations of the companies they work for and buy from, so you better serve them well. And we being the service arm, it just highlight that to yourself that you want to make sure you're serving them well and being responsive to their needs. Adaptability is crucial, and those who do not will not survive. So it's about being flexible for us. Not structured, not this has to look this way or have to, or it's all about adaptability because that's what they're looking for. Meet Generation Z. By 2020, I get to hear some statistics for you. They will account for one-third of the entire U.S. population. That's huge. One-third of the population will be Gen Z by 2020. We're only 2 years away from that, people. So don't talk to me about this isn't a group you want to, you know, share with. it's important. And there, it's important for, you know, us to have this group of people in our organizations. And I gave that, we already talked about their birth dates from 95 to 2012. They're the most diverse generation in American history. I'm talking color, religion, ethnicity, all of these things. Most diverse, religion-wise, all aspects of our sociology. They're so diverse because this country's become a, you know, melting pot. And we have people of so many different ethnic backgrounds, which is wonderful as a melting pot. And it, but it's the idea that they, this is why they're so into, you know, fairness for everybody. They're more conscious of it because they grew up, you know, that's why they get so, they're political activists today, because they're fighting for, you know, groups that are marginalized in our society. They're because they grew up, the guy next door, the people they went to school with, they sat around in a classroom with, they, you know, the people they socialized with. They were of all different colors and ages and religions, and so they have a passion for what is, where is this prejudice? Why are we prejudiced? Why are we restrictive? Why are we doing, they don't understand that because that's not been their experience in life through their early years. So they're very much into the most diverse generation that we have ever seen. They're realists growing up in the aftermath of 9/11. So the hardships of the crash of 2007-08, they lived through that. And living through a recession has caused them to be more price conscious. Isn't that intriguing? Even though they're more so even than the millennials. These guys are very price conscious, and they also rely on entrepreneurialism for their livelihoods. They really want to be entrepreneurs more than any generation that's come before them. So that's exciting because that goes right, it lands right into our lap of what we have to offer for them. They're very communicative, but more electronically than face-to-face. We talked about that earlier. They'd almost rather interact with people, like they probably do Zooms maybe, and they like, you know, obviously their iPhones, FaceTime. They love all that stuff. But they meeting one-on-one, getting meeting up at Starbucks, that's not a big thing for them. They believe they can do everything on that phone. You know, that phone is their passageway to the world. So relate to them that way when you're interacting with them. You know, meet them where their demand is and where they feel most comfortable. They expect their work and personal life to intermingle because of this constant connectivity, which is exactly what we do in network marketing. This is why, again, perfect. The 9-to-5 job is out for them. They really, you know, working remote is more pleasing to them. And that's what they get to do, again, in network marketing. Notice the language that is here for you to use with these people. Grab on some of this language and use that. Slower to dive into adulthood. They're going to put off long-term commitments or settling into careers. They're projecting that this generation will probably be married and settle in careers, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 to 10 years out of even the millennial generation. And we see the millennials already have a lag time in choosing careers and settling down. This generation's even going to be further out. They're also acutely tuned into equality, especially for marginalized populations. So be aware of that. We mentioned that earlier. They seek uniqueness with the brands they associate with as well as their careers. So we know with Manatech, what do we have? The uniqueness. So again, another great term to be using when you're dealing with the Gen Z is talk about how unique we are as a company, how different we are. In the environment I was in this weekend, people were talking, they brought up network marketing, and people are going, oh, you have to buy in order to make money. I mean, they were telling me something that was untrue about Manatech. It was shocking to me that they were telling me this about my own company. I mean, they wanted to make me wrong. And it was funny. And I just looked at it and I said, no, I don't. In fact, the reality is I haven't had an order in my name because of my pod situation. I just put it there. I don't care about the extra 10% customer loyalty credits. I'm not suggesting anyone make that decision. You make it for yourself. But the reality is that I want to make sure my order is working for me. And when it's in my own name, I get paid on it, but it's not working for me to earn other income like the in the pod. So I haven't had to order my name, and I was just looking at these people telling them what I make and saying, I haven't had to order my name for a year, right? You don't need to do that. And I said, that's not part of our structure. That doesn't mean I don't take the products, but, you know, there's differences out there about us that can be appreciated. So anyway, so the last page, so cool. I took a right out of the article I decided to give you guys, kind of the differences, because some people, you've heard me talk about Generation Z, and you go, so how are they different from the millennials? Well, I gave you a lot of insight from the article in the rest of the discussion today, but on the last page, I actually copied off something directly from the article to let you guys look at the differences, millennials versus Gen Z, so you really draw that distinction, because you can't throw all these people in the same pot. Because they're not. Just like our generation wasn't like the one before us, you know. Baby boomers were, they stuck out like crazy, right? We were very different from any, you know, generations that came before or came after. Well, so is this one. So you want to acknowledge them as unique. You want to, you know, and make them feel important for who they are and what generation they are in. Because that gives them a part of their identity is that they're Gen Z and they're independent and they're, you know, they're experts at multitasking and all these things. So again, more language that you can pop out, use your highlighter, pick it out, make a list of it, have it, you know, something that comes, just flows naturally out of your mouth so that when you meet with these people, these young people who are up to 23 now, you can have a great discussion with them that's going to connect with them instead of disconnect, right? You want to show that you value them, that you've studied them, that you understand their wants and their whims and their desires, and you're there to meet those for them. That's what's important. When you want to align yourself with these people and attract them in your business, we need to do that. Do they mind working with somebody in their 60s, 50s? No. They're looking for what? Independence for themselves. They want to be independent. They want to be an entrepreneur. And if you have a great concept for them, wow, because it breaks all age barriers. And that's one of the beauties of network marketing. Okay, so any questions about Gen Z? Did this help you guys learn a little bit more? Some people are probably going, wow, Mary Jo, thanks. Now I understand my grandchildren a little bit better.
Thanks, Mary Jo. I think that was a great understanding of how to approach these young people better, because there's a lot of them out there having issues already and looking for solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a great one for them,
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely, yeah.
I like everyone. Comment about blending the old too, Mary Jo. That was great. Like, you know, bringing ancient technology like the Allo story and refining it and bringing it into the modern age. We got some stuff we can talk about.
I know, isn't it? When I was preparing this, Michael, of course, I was thinking of our prior conversations as well, going, this is the romance story they love. Mm-hmm. This group will love that.
Yeah.
It's part of what they, because they want to feel significance of something that, you know, has some kind of, you know, kind of special story, a romance story or a social story behind the brand, something that it makes it unique and not, oh, I found this new flower, da, da, da. They're going, wow, look at this, dates back thousands of years. And make it a romance story, right? Yeah,
people always tell stories, and I think the fact that you highlight that with this particular group, I think it's perfect timing for where we're going.
Yep, it is. Absolutely.
Mary Jo, this is Mary in Phoenix, and I would say along with that, I don't think we should underestimate the value of our own story, which you mentioned, but a number of us have been with Manitech for decades, you know, and I think that is maybe significant to them. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and this is true about anyone you talk to. In fact, some of the people I interacted with this weekend at the conference, they asked what I did, and I talked about the phenomenal story of the aloe. You know, that's what I like to tell people because that really distinguishes us in such a significant way. But I also said, you know, the reality is, people, when you're looking for a nutritional product, why would you want to ever take a product that the average length of time people stay on it is 6 months? I said,
right.
With this company, I just throw that out there. I don't know what the average is out of, but I make it a suggestion in their mind, so they're thinking that means the majority of people only stay on something for 6 months, which could have been their behavioral pattern in the past with other products they tried, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, our company with Ambertose, it's 9.5 years.
Yes.
So do you think this product makes a difference? You know, and they look at you like, how do I get it? You know, they've taken my cards. They're calling me today. It's like how do I get it? Because you're right. That makes a huge difference. And I believe it, not just with the Gen Z, but I believe anytime you're sharing Manatech with people, that average longevity on the products with Manatech products, it's not just Ambertose, it's a Manatech product. The average longevity is 9.5 years. That's huge.
Right.
Not something you lead with, but it's something that you sneak in the conversation somewhere.
That's right.
You know, as you get close to your closing, to get. You know.
And then our own connection being long is very impressive to many people because they know how people jump around with nutrition. They've jumped, I mean, and again, not just this Generation Z, but other people that we're talking to. They've jumped around. They don't even know the names of the products that they're the names of the companies that they're buying products from.
Right.
And the fact that we've been with one company, for so long, we have to use that to our advantage as well. Thank you, Mary Jo. This was a
I think that commentary, I'll just highlight this with you, probably is less effective with a Gen Zer than it is with somebody our age. Does that make sense? Or somebody 35 or 45. These guys, they don't have the experience that people jump around from nutritional products to nutrition.
That's exactly true.
They haven't lived long enough to see that, to experience that. But I think
that's
it's a very powerful concept for, you know, and it's powerful with the Gen Zers from the perspective of evaluating the business opportunity. If the average length of time people stay on the products is 9.5 years, what do you think that means for your prospects of this being a great business? You get it?
Exactly.
Then that's where I would put it versus their own experience.
Good. Thank you.
Everybody. Absolutely.
Just a quick tidbit. Al was on Joyce's call this week, and he was talking about a number of things, but one of the things that caught my attention, as I think it will many, is that in South Korea, on the global tour, they sold $5 million worth of Ambertose alone in 1 week.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Well, I know. And they are opening Ambertose Life in a new country. Al was just on the tour to bring Ambertose Life to open. They had the grand opening of first selling it there. It doesn't shock me at all. It's great. It's a huge number. But, you know, South Korea is our number one country in terms of total sales of Manatech products today. So,
impressive for people to hear.
It is. It is. They love Ambertose over there. And and if you were at Manifest this year and saw how much they bought of Ambertose Life because they weren't going to get it for 6 months or 5 months, I think they sold two million or so. I mean, it was the largest sales they've ever had at a Manifest this year.
I thought they needed a plane just to cart their stuff home.
Exactly. They probably, you know, they went out and leased this plane just for themselves. So they could take a whole South Korea contingency with them and all the products they bought. Yeah, it was great. No, we're very fortunate to have South Korea amidst our business today because they really are, you know, they really are doing a great job at promoting this product. So we just got to, you know, in the United States, we just need to pick it up. And I'm going to do whatever I can, people, to help you guys in every way possible to help everybody get back on track and start seeing that kind of growth in your organizations as well. So let's just be committed to making it happen, right? Amen. Okay, everyone. Love you guys. Have a great week. Let's go out there and make a difference in people's lives, and because you have very powerful products and business opportunity to do that. Talk soon. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Mary Jo.